Real quick, before we get into the show, I wanted to share a new service called Getida that Ken and I have been using that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for firing the man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?
Welcome, everyone, to the Firing the Man podcast, a show for anyone who wants to be their own boss. If you sit in a cubicle every day and know you are capable of more, then join us. This show will help you build a business and grow your passive income streams in just a few short hours per day. And now your hosts, serial entrepreneurs David Schomer and Ken Wilson.
Welcome, everyone, to the Firing the Man podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Hai Mag, the co-founder and CEO of Ava.Guru. For those of you who are regular listeners of the Firing the Man podcast, you have likely heard us talking a lot about the new Ava software stack we have been using, which includes dashboard reporting, inventory management tools such as replenishment forecasting, profitability reports, reimbursements that run automatically, and my favorite, the dynamic pricing tool. On today's episode, we are going to dive deep into some common problems that Amazon sellers run into and how the Ava tool can help solve these problems. Welcome to the show, Hai.
Hey, thank you for having me, David and Ken. So it's great to be here again.
Absolutely. So for those of our listeners that did not listen to episode 155, the first time you were a guest, can you give us a brief overview of your background and what led you to founding Ava?
Sure. After almost 20 years in software companies like IBM and Oracle and in management consulting company Accenture, I had a side hustle, which was an Amazon business with my partner. I decided to move on, and we decided to create Ava because what we saw was 4 years ago, a lot of things that we do just because we are computer engineers and focusing a lot into data is helping everyone, every e-commerce, you know, owner to be more successful. We started with Ava like 4 years ago, and over the 4 years, it has been a great journey so far, you know, developing both the platform and the services around it.
Excellent. Excellent. Just to lay out kind of the format of this podcast, because it is going to be a little bit different than we have in the past, and we're really looking forward to it. So prior to this interview, Ken and I brainstormed a series of problems that we have encountered over the last few years in our own businesses. These are also problems that we think are very common amongst almost all Amazon sellers. And so what we're going to do, the format of this episode, is we're going to present you with a problem. Then we're going to ask, does Ava have a solution to this problem? For some of these, we may jump on a screen share and take a look. Some of these we may just be answering. So if you're tuning into the audio episode, check out our YouTube channel. There will be an accompanying video portion of this that I think is going to be incredibly valuable. So does that sound good? All right. Sounds good. So problem number one.
And before that, David, let me share my screen, right? So that everybody sees also the first, you know, kind of the executive dashboard. That's what we call. So for the ones who are watching our episode, at least they know how the executive dashboard looks like on Ava, because everything from our perspective, before all the problems, it starts from understanding your P&L, right? Like, you know, for every seller, what is the profit? What is sales? What is expenses? And you can even see all the details of the ROI margin or the sales data or expenses data from the dashboard. And on the second row, it's more about like the split between the organic sales, advertising sales, ACOS, as well as, you know, from my perspective, like one of the most important KPI, the TACOS. And that's kind of the executive dashboard. Like, at least just I thought it would make sense to share and start digging into the problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is something that Ken and I use this tool. This is kind of the heartbeat of our business and something that I definitely like to tune in to daily and see how things are going. So I'm glad that you showed that. So, all right. So problem number one, in order for our businesses to be successful, we need to maximize our net income. While revenue numbers are nice, we pay ourselves and the bills with net income. And so that is our focus. We have heard that Amazon sellers can generally take two approaches. One, you could have a high velocity, low margin product, or you could have a low velocity, high margin product. For some of our current products, we are not sure what price points we are maximizing net income. We have tried to measure this in our spreadsheets, but are constantly running into this situation that I'm about to describe. We move the price of product A from $15 to $20. Of course, we are earning more net income per product. However, this is offset by a lower velocity, a lower conversion rate, and higher PPC costs. This becomes incredibly complicated to measure, and so we end up picking a number in the middle, say $17.50. But in the back of our minds, we know that is more of a finger in the wind estimate, and we don't feel confident in that number. And so our question to you is this a problem Ava can solve? And let's dive into it.
Absolutely. So that is like, you know, it's kind of a Pucker type of a problem because there are too many parameters here and they're all correlated with each other. And it's not even clear how this correlation works. So this is one of the problems we are trying to solve for, you know, for a couple of years now. And it was even the first problem. So also I'm kind of like moving into the pricing management of Eva, where for every single product that is private label or a brand, we also have a solution called dynamic pricing. And the reason why we started with dynamic pricing in the first hand was to fix the problems like you described. Now, back to the problem, there are a couple of things that we look at, you know, and we look at a couple of parameters and how they develop over a certain period of time. And the number one thing that we check is the sales velocity, because, you know, one of the things even in the beginning you mentioned, low velocity, high margin versus high velocity, low margin. Even the fundamentals of Amazon is kind of very much around high velocity, by the way. Why? Because if you don't have the high velocity or the ranking, then the challenge is like you will not be ranked like on the first page, or, you know, more people will not see you. Very much like relevant, you know, to have a high velocity or not to sacrifice the velocity just for the sake of the profit, which means that the kind of macroeconomics of pricing in general life is not always applicable to Amazon. And one of the reasons is this ranking problem, because you always want to rank more, and you cannot always sacrifice the profit like in the real life just for the sake of having maybe a lower velocity, because then it will create that chicken egg problem where you will have lower velocity and you will have less sales. As you have less sales, you will have lower velocity, and it just goes like that. That's like a one area. The second area that I see here, as you mentioned, is the advertising relation to the sales, because you can increase the price, but if you are also increasing the advertising, then the advertising conversion rate may go down. So here, there is another parameter which we really like, which is the unit session percentage. I think a parameter that is not always highlighted as much as the CVR, but somehow I like the USP more, because CVR has a bit of a value calculation where the average order value is also relevant to CVR. But in the unit session percentage, the USP, it is the sales divided by number of sessions, basically. So how many sessions you have in order to sell X units, you know, like that's kind of like what we are looking at. So we try to combine all of these together. So that's kind of like, I mean, the two challenges, the advertising impact, the ranking impact, but at the same time, how can we maximize the profits? The short answer to the question is yes, Eva definitely solves that problem. The solution to that is an AI-based dynamic pricing, but the ingredients of that solution to the AI or to the engine is the unit USP, because it's both the organic and advertising sales, which kind of contributes into the number of sessions, ensuring that ranking is still there, because we cannot just sacrifice the velocity. To some extent, we may for the profit, but not like in a theoretical approach where we just sacrifice for the sake of profit. You know, that we cannot do. You know, combining that USP as well as the ranking into the formula, which will create the optimum price at any given time. So that's kind of like what we did.
Now, Hai, can you show us an example of one of these and how it would be adjusting the price around?
Right. So, you know, there are, you know, a couple of things. So first of all, maybe I can show you a kind of like an example where how we visualize the whole pricing. For example, there are two white dashed lines here, like the white dashed line, which is the on the top is the maximum price. And the one on the bottom is the minimum price. So which means that it's a business decision. The business owner decides what's the minimum and the maximum that EVA can play with the price. And then the EVA is starting, you know, finding the best price point between these two prices, the minimum and the maximum. So what I can do from EVA is also search for, you know, kind of an available item. And, you know, like I'm just checking some different examples here. For example, at this moment, what you're seeing is on the 14th of February, the sales price was 119.88, and based on the sessions and the number of sales, EVA is increasing the price because the demand is increasing. And by the way, this price changes that EVA does is typically between 0 to 3%, and it's aligned with the Amazon algorithm because you don't want manually to increase the price a lot and then Amazon may suppress the buybacks. So that's also avoided by the EVA algorithm because it's aligned with the Amazon algorithm. And as the time passes, the price is going up to 124, 124, and then even 125.88. And finally, it reaches to 128.38. So in 6 days, that price increase do not change the velocity or the sessions, which are a result of advertising and organic effort. But in terms of profits, we are talking about an additional 15% profit as a result of that price change. So that's kind of like what I'm seeing for that 5 days. And you are still seeing the sales trend going up for the last week, same day, as well as last 30 days and last quarter as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds good. All right, Ken, over to you for problem number two.
Yes, absolutely. So problem number two for an Amazon seller, this one is around product launches. And so let's say we launched a very unique product and we've got the listing optimized, the images are dialed in, we've got video, EBC, we're running heavy PPC, everything is dialed in except for price. And we're selling, maybe we haven't sold any, maybe we've sold just a few, and we think our price needs to be adjusted. Is this a problem that EVA can solve?
Absolutely. So let me talk about that one. So for example, in this particular product, which is a supplement, what we can see that, like, you know, if the demand is going down and the sessions are still at a similar, if the demand is going down, which means that if the velocity is low, but the number of sessions are similar or going up, it makes sense to drop the price. And by that dropping of the price to increase the USP and as well as the conversion rate. I mean, that's something that we are seeing for 2 days. And then what happens is like we see an orders increasing and the demand increasing after 2 days of like dropping the price, for example. And the system continues to check both, you know, points that are better or lower or higher based on the demand and the number of sessions that are happening every day.
All right, on to problem number three. And this has been one that we've been dealing with very recently. So we launched in the Amazon US, and then we decided that we wanted to go into the UK, Germany, and Canada. So we went from managing one currency to four different currencies. And it's a little bit overwhelming because of the constant fluctuating foreign exchange rates. And so is this something that EVA can help with?
Absolutely. And that's the way that we do. We designed the EVA. First of all, it is available in all marketplaces, all Amazon marketplaces globally, including in Australia, Japan, Europe, and all American marketplaces too. So, which means that it is pretty easy to switch even from one marketplace to another and analyze the profits and the revenue in that particular currency and the marketplace context. Now, one of the problems that every seller is having is what would be the price on the other marketplace? Because, you know, you have the U.S. prices, and now what will be the prices on Canada? Now, one of the great things here is, like with EVA, you can select a master store. There are three zones of Amazon, basically. The first zone is America, and the second is Europe, and the third is the Asia and Pacific. Now, based on these zones, you can define a master store, for example, the U.S. to be the master store. And you can also define, like for the other marketplaces like Canada and Mexico, what type of a surcharge you want to add. Because that's kind of a requirement as well from a lot of sellers. They would like to sell with a surcharge of, let's say, 3% more on the Canadian marketplace or the Mexican marketplace. It can also be 3% more for the Canadian marketplace, but 5% less for the Mexican marketplace. And that this can also be arranged with EVA. And as soon as it's done, based on the international exchange rates, the prices will be converted into that specific marketplace exchange rate together with the impact of the surcharge. And this will be automatically synchronized every day if the customer wants it, or it can also be a one-time synchronization too.
Okay, so just to make sure I understand that correctly, you would set up, say, the U.S. as your master store, and then your Canadian pricing would be based on that, adjusting for the current exchange and the premium that you're talking about.
That's right.
Okay, that makes sense. And say you, like we've heard from people, that you can earn a little bit more up in Canada. So there's, if you say you wanted the U.S. and Canada to operate independently of each other, maybe capture a little bit more margin up north, could you do that as well?
Absolutely. That can be done, right? You know, by adding that surcharge. At the same time, what happens is, like, as soon as these prices are synchronized, then depending on the setting and depending on the demand, the markets will start acting on their own, right? Like, you know, for example, the Canadian marketplace, if the demand is high, maybe the prices will change according to that too. So that will be another area. But it's also possible to synchronize the prices daily with US, which means that then Canada just acts as a slave market to the U.S. market. But you can definitely make more money by adding that surcharge.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Ken, over to you.
Yes, awesome. Okay, so the next problem for an Amazon seller, this is huge. This has been an ongoing issue for several years now, especially recently, and it's IPI, Inventory Performance Index. And so it's becoming incredibly important to monitor that metric. And so let's just, an Amazon seller has, you know, maybe they have 75 or 100 SKUs, and their IPI is very low, and they notice that they have a low sell-through rate on some of their SKUs. And so can EVA identify those SKUs and then change how you can increase your sell-through rates?
Absolutely.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
So there are a couple of things that may be interesting to show here. One of the things is there is an inventory management suite inside the EVA. So EVA is a platform that every single feature is using the same database. One of the biggest things, by the way, I think it's an important thing to mention, we are not a set of tools, because there's a lot of, like, you know, companies which just acquire different products and they just offer a bunch of suite, bunch of tools, right? Now, on the EVA, the biggest difference is every single feature and function is using the same database. It is the same database. We are able to correlate between advertising, ranking, USP, inventory, and pricing. As we are able to, I mean, we are already talking about pricing for the last 30 minutes, but we also have the inventory data. You know, if we know the status of the inventory, we can use the pricing to liquidate or to accelerate the sales as well. For example, one of the reports that I really love is the inventory health report, because it's already showing what's the age of the inventory. Is there any estimated excess units? Is there an estimated long-term storage fees? Because it's somewhat related to two things, right? One, IPI score is also related to these guys who are not selling, you know, enough. And the second is, like, not only that these products are not selling, but also they stay in the inventory and Amazon will start charging you, right? But they don't want that, right? I mean, Amazon doesn't like, or anybody who is in the 3PL business, no warehouse manager likes this products that are sitting in their warehouse, because it doesn't pay the bills. Like, storage never pays the bills of a warehouse. What pays the bills is the action, the operation, in and out, in and out. That's why there is a IPI score, which is related to a sell-through rate. Now, what we do is, like, we play with the price by using, like, a velocity-based pricing. We are able to, you know, like, increase the liquidity, you know, increase the demand or increase the sales by reducing the price. That's what we can do as well.
All right. So continuing on the discussion of IPI, we have a particular account that has over 300 SKUs, and managing inventory can be a nightmare. We are constantly going out of stock on products, which then hurts our IPI. And so is this something that Ava can help out with?
The answer is yes. And there are a couple of things that maybe, you know, to mention here about EVA. Again, we talked about the inventory management and the relation of the inventory to price, as well as the profit. So one thing here, very important, between advertising, pricing, and inventory is, if the inventory is low, you may want to act totally different than if you have inventory, right? Like, and there are two things there. Number one, if your inventory is low, probably you don't want to spend too much money on advertising. You want to fine-tune your advertising, but you don't have enough stock. Why should you spend all the money in advertising? So this is also important. The second area is, if you continue to sell with the same sales velocity, you may be in an out-of-stock situation, maybe in a couple of days. So what we build is something called inventory protection and typically that inventory protection is a parameter that the sellers set as 7 days, but it can be changed. The default is like 7. And based on that inventory protection, if you have 7 days, let's say you 7 is selected, right? If you have 7 days of stock left, then the prices will gradually increase. As the prices are increasing, two things will happen. Number one, the velocity will go down, which will delay the out of stock. And number two, you're going to make more money because you're maximizing the profit. Now, another great example, like, and this, you know, Q4 is coming, right? Soon or later, you know, in the next 6 months. During the Q4, for most of the sellers, it's a guess. They send all the stuff to FBA, all the products to FBA, but they don't know if it sells a lot. And if there is a prediction parameter, let's say, if the 20 days is selected, you know, if there's 20 days of stock, and if you start gradually increasing the price, we have seen like 20 to 30% profit increase during the Q4 by using the inventory protection on EVA and increase the price automatically every day to delay the out of stock. Now, the other way to delay the out of stock is always to know what you can replenish, right? And what's the right time, which product to replenish. Now, EVA is providing a one-click simulation of the replenishment. For example, here, for a number of products, EVA is telling you about, like, what what is available, what is in transit, or what is inbound. And I can easily go and do a one-click simulation. And based on that simulation, the system will tell me how much money is required and for every single unit, what should be the best way to replenish. A similar tool exists within Amazon, but for many reasons, we very much believe that this replenishment tool that I'm showing you will give you a much better, much accurate result. As we know, the sales velocity, but also the biggest difference with EVA is like, because we know the cost, we also know the ROI and the margin. So the replenishment forecasting is done based on the sales velocity, but also incorporating the ROI and margin into the equation, not just the sales velocity, but also the out of stock days as well. So that's kind of like a very easy way to create a replenishment forecast every week as well.
Okay. Yeah, I really like that feature. You know, we always like making more profit, especially even when as the inventory is running out. So that's really cool. The next problem we have, and this is essentially a problem for every single Amazon seller that's ever sold on Amazon. Amazon is such a very, very large company, and they have so many FCs, fulfillment centers. They have so many workers, and things happen. Errors happen. Mistakes happen. And so as a seller, if you're using FBA, which most everybody does to be successful, you're shipping your inventory into Amazon, right? You're sending in 1,000 units or 5,000 units and they make mistakes. They lose them, they break them, they do whatever. And so as a seller, we really have no control over that. So is there a function of EVA that can help out with getting reimbursements?
Yeah. And this is like one of the best functions features that I really like with EVA because it's very easy to show the value. I mean, it's always when we talk about pricing, advertising, you know, people are, hey, you know, it's great, but how can I see it? But reimbursements, it's like cash, you know, sent back to your account in that disbursement report. And so everybody loves this reimbursements. Now, one of the things that we do about this reimbursements is like we look after 20 plus categories. And this month, by the way, we had a record of almost $10 million recovery for the Amazon sellers. And when I talk about this to new sellers, like they got surprised. Oh, if Amazon lost my stuff, I thought they are paying for it. Like they don't think that like maybe there is a need for reimbursements. And they are to some extent correct, right? Because the dashboard that I'm showing you right now is also showing this orange bar. The orange bar is like what Amazon automatically reimburses. So Amazon is trying to do a good job there and already reimbursing if there is lost or damaged items. And there's like 20 plus categories, as I said. But unfortunately, even if they are with their best effort, they are missing a lot of reimbursements that are not recovered automatically by Amazon. And this can be between 1 to 3% of your monthly sales.
If you're a podcast host or someone wanting to be interviewed on podcasts as a guest, visit podmatch.com. Podmatch automatically connects ideal podcast guests and hosts together for interviews. We always say it works just like a dating app, but instead of connecting you for dates, it connects you for podcast interviews. Podmatch has connected over 85,000 guests and hosts together for interviews that listeners love, all while saving you countless hours of administrative work through built-in automations. If you're ready to level up your podcast interviews on either side of the mic, start today by visiting podmatch.com.
So in a nutshell, if your revenue is $100,000 a month, we are talking about $1,000 to $3,000 that can be recovered by the EVA team. We detect this automatically. Everything is like automated, but according to Amazon terms of service, you cannot automatically open cases. So we have a huge team that is like, you know, opening the cases, claiming that, you know, money for the sellers. Now, the another beautiful thing about it is the reimbursement recovery fee for EVA is 13% for the EVA subscribers, which means they only pay 13% for every single recovery. So if we recover $100, we take $13. If we recover nothing, we take nothing. So kind of a simple, straightforward service No brainer. Everybody should use it.
Yes. This is probably one of my favorite features of Eva. Excellent. David, over to you.
Yeah, there's two things I want to add on to this. So to our listeners, if you have not run reimbursements, the best day of reimbursements is day one, because you guys go back 12 months?
18 months.
18 months. So if you've never run reimbursements, on day one, they'll go back 18 months. And so, Ken, I remember when we flipped the switch on, we got like nice. five grand. And we had already been running reimbursements using another tool. This was just like the stuff that they did not find. And so this, to me, there's very few things that you can do in your business that give you 1-3% this easily. Like when I say you flip the switch on and do nothing else, that's it. It is, I can say as a customer, we don't do anything for reimbursements. It just happens.
Best profit you can get.
And there's so many parts of the business that require a lot of effort. This one is you just turn it over and are only charged when you're successful. And so, yeah, a big fan of this tool. So moving on, a lot of our listings have both FBA and FBM. To our listeners, that would be fulfilled by Amazon or fulfilled by merchant. Given the inventory restrictions, sometimes we'll go out of stock and cannot replenish our FBA inventory. And so we have FBM listings that serve as kind of a backup. However, we want to ensure that our FBA listings always have the buy box, assuming that they are in stock. Recently, we increased some of our FBA prices, but forgot to adjust our FBM prices. Therefore, the FBM listing won the buy box, and those are significantly less profitable. So our question is there a way to always have your FBM listings be more expensive than your FBA listings?
And the answer is yes, absolutely. First of all, let's start from, for every single SKU, does it make sense to have an FBM version? Because, you know, in the past, like 5 years ago, it was a discussion of like FBM is better. 2 years ago, let's do FBM for some of the items, let's do FBA for some others. Today, it's like FBA is the only way, you know, that's the right way. It's the most cost effective. And I agree with that, right? We all agree FBA is the right way, unless you have some product which is oversized or some like dangerous items, etc., right? Or melting item, things like that. But here you go. For every single FBA, there is an out of stock challenge. And if you have the warehouse and able to fulfill the orders, it makes a lot of sense to have the FBM version. Now, having the FBM version has another interesting fact, like I would like to share. If on the same listing, the customer sees the FBA version, let's say the price is $10, but also sees that there is another seller actually selling it for $11. Like that's the perception, right? Actually, there is no other seller. It's you with your FBM listing, and the FBM listing is, let's say, 10% more expensive. But the consumer, the shopper thinks like, hey, there's another guy selling for $11. We see that it helped the conversion rate too, you know, like to having like another seller selling it for a higher price as they go into that FBA listing. So the question is like, how can you keep the FBA listings and FBA FBM listings together? Now, one of the best parts of Eva. Now, okay, so let's kind of like again a little bit cut here. Okay, so I'm gonna show about the parent ASIN pricing. Okay, let's talk about the parent and child pricing, because like, I mean, I would like to kind of cover two things at the same time. So one is that like you have the FBA and the FBM version. And the other one is like, also you have different variations of the same product and you would like to control everything all together. Meaning that, for example, for this parent ASIN, one parent ASIN, you have a master child, like I mean in the setting. So this first one is a master child and the second SKU is the FBM version of the first. Now, what you want to do is like, you want to decide that your FBM to be always 10% above the FBA. So it can easily be set up on the Eva parent-child pricing. Now, not only that you can set up the FBM version, but also you can set up like a two-pack version, let's say to be always 80% more than the master, and for the child, 80% more than the child. So with all the different variations of colors, size, and also like 2-pack, 4-pack, 8-pack versions, and FBA and FBM, you're able to set up like custom rules to make it work. That's one way, the manual way, but you have the full control. And the second is like Eva AI is automatically, if you have an FBM version and an FBA version, Eva AI will automatically set the FBA CPM a bit more higher than the FBA. So you don't need to even touch that because it will work automatically. Now, the question is, hey, what about if the dynamic pricing changes the FBA? Like next day, the FBA price goes 3% up. What will happen with the FBM? If that happens, the EVA will also synchronize the FBM aligned with that FBA price. Meaning, if FBA price increases by 3%, FBM price will also increase by 3%. So the relationship that you define, which is like, let's say, FBM to be always 10% above, will be maintained if the child SKU, which is the master, that's the FBA price changes, then automatically all the other slave SKUs or slave ASINs prices will be changing accordingly.
This is huge. And this makes, we have quite a few products that have that 2-pack, 4-pack, 8-pack type of variation, and being able to move them in tandem with each other, really, really helpful. And so, this is a great solution to problem number 7. So, Ken, anything else we want to cover? Or, Hi, anything else we want to cover while we're here?
Absolutely. There is one more problem that I saw that problem for the last 3 months coming to me all the time, which is about like, okay, EVA is great, Amazon prices problem is solved, but what about Walmart and Shopify? Because all the private label and brands now, Walmart is kind of being more sexy, looks like, in the last 3-4 months. We will see if it is like a fashion or it will be like a, you know, kind of it will continue. But one of the other challenges, unfortunately, if your Walmart price or Shopify price is much lower than your Amazon price for some reason, then Amazon, you can have a buy box suppression problem, right? Like, and if your buy box is suppressed, probably you're going to lose like 30-40% of your sales. And there's all the other impacts too. This problem is solved. What we do is like, we are able to synchronize your Amazon prices now to both Walmart and Shopify. That's number one. And number two, a minor release that we did 2 weeks ago. Again, you can put a percentage like an amount like a surcharge on top of that Walmart or Shopify synchronization, meaning that you can have a price on Amazon, $10 for a product, and you can define the synchronization as, I don't know, let's say 10% more for Walmart, and the Walmart price will be 11, and 20% more for Shopify, then the Shopify price will be 12. You can do it in the other way, and you can have your Shopify price to be 20% less than Amazon, but just be aware that for some reason, Amazon can suppress your buy box if they are scanning like all the Shopify pages. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. With Walmart, I think 90% of the time, Amazon knows the Walmart price. Hard to escape from that.
That's a really cool feature. And now, Hi, is that like an API connection, or is that, that was a new release? Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, it's like, it's newly released. You're right. Like you basically connect your Shopify through API, same thing with Walmart. And once you do the connection, then you decide if it is a direct synchronization or you need to add a surcharge to it. And it's super great. Like I love this one. We tried immediately with 10, 15 stores, and it makes a lot of sense because Amazon data is huge. The other value is now you're able to synchronize the right price to Walmart and Shopify too. So it also fixes like one other problem, right? A lot of sellers saying, hey, if I use dynamic pricing, my Walmart will be still the same price because it's fixed. Like I cannot update the Walmart price every day, right? And for some reason, if for the sake of dynamic pricing, Walmart price can be lower from the Amazon price, and it will end up in a buy box suppression. Now, with that synchronization, all the problem is solved with that buy box suppression and maximize the profit on the Walmart and Shopify. That's also enabled because the Amazon data is already enough to find the right price, even for Shopify and Walmart.
That's a really, really slick feature. I really like that. And definitely, well, increase profits, revenue and profits, right? If you don't get the buy box suppressed, then your profits and revenues goes up. So that's really cool. I know we're coming up on time, Hi. I really want to thank you for, you know, showcasing all of the features of EVA, covering all of these problems and solutions to the problems that the tools provide. So I want to go ahead and close out the show with the fire round. Are you ready, Hi?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. What is your favorite book?
So it's the the capital from Thomas Piketty, showing, you know, telling about like how like the important is the capital to run the business and the economy in the world scale, basically. So it's a very nice book.
Okay, awesome. What are your hobbies?
Being like living in San Diego, two things that I really like the most is surfing and rowing.
Awesome. That's really cool. What is the one thing that you do not miss about working for the man?
Definitely what I do not miss is like people inviting to me to a meeting, which there is another 10 people and nobody knows where they are. It's like all this inefficient, ineffective meetings, I am not missing at all.
I definitely agree. Awesome. Last one. What do you think sets apart successful e-commerce entrepreneurs from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Kind of the answer is in the question itself, right? You know, first of all, like not giving up is like super important, right? Like, you know, they always ask like when the startup fails, well, when the founders give up, right? So it's kind of an important thing. But what I see right now, like how to be successful if the guy already has the resilience is to really master the data, like being data-driven, mastering the data, and having a holistic view of the e-commerce, not just focusing on one single thing, like I want to make the advertising, right? No, it's really all about inventory, advertising, pricing together rather than fixing like just one of the issues because all of them are correlated. Like having that holistic view and being data-driven can make the e-commerce sellers really successful, I think.
That's an excellent answer. It's like a one big ecosystem. Awesome. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Hi, David, you want to close out the show?
Absolutely. Hi, you mentioned before we hit record that you had an offer for our audience. So could you share that with them?
Hey, that's a great one. So, I mean, thanks for having me on the show. You guys are great e-commerce sellers, and there are also a lot of great sellers watching and listening to the show. So for them, what I would like to say is like if they want to use the EVA platform, first of all, they can go to eva.guru and start leveraging the platform for a 15 days free trial. Now, if they really like it, I would like to offer a 50% off on the first month subscription, and they can use the code FIRINGTHEMAN50 to when they subscribe. So that will already immediately create a 50% discount.
Perfect. That's FIRINGTHEMAN50. And we will post that in the show notes. Hi, want to thank you for being a guest on the Firing the Man podcast and looking forward to continue to use this tool to solve problems in our own businesses. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, David and Ken.
Before you go, we wanted to share a new service that Ken and I have been using called Getida that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A.com, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for Firing the Man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?